Chapter 14. Recovered Data Archive, quote, honey, end quote. Unknown channel. Sitting there in the stark light against the stained concrete wall, that was all I got. The shambles was heavily screened. When they built it, they'd known most bioforms had comms headwear. They'd known that back in the days of the pound. Attempts to simply disable that wear on a case-by-case basis hadn't worked. Easy enough to reactivate the protocols. They'd wanted a secure prison where the inmates didn't have 24-hour phone privileges. And then they'd set the cells underground and walled in 2 feet of reinforced concrete, and that was the icing on the incommunicado cake, frankly. So there I was, trying to get a line out, trying to find something live in the shambles to piggyback off. Trying to hack into the personal systems of my captors, even. And getting nowhere. Even they were cut off, if they came anywhere near me. They had to go out on the street for a signal. And I remembered the shambles. There had been real spikes of hysteria about bioforms around the time the place was built. And there had been bioforms who reacted to their newfound rights and freedoms by taking advantage of them, or who had just failed to integrate into human society. And we'd worked out systems and methods and buffers since, but it had been a turbulent time. And when one of us crossed the line, the human law had come down hard. This was before Rex had become a champion who was such a good dog. The shambles was where we were sent to die. I mean, technically, it was just a holding cell, but 29 bioforms died in the shambles. They died resisting arrest, mostly. And what, the human police and guards asked, were they supposed to use against an 8-foot cyborg dog that was resisting arrest, save for overwhelming force? And it's amazing how much the marks on some poor mutt just tied to a chair and beaten to death look like the marks on a rabid monster brought down by heroic law enforcement officers. Especially when the judge rules that all those rope burns about the wrists and neck are somehow inadmissible evidence. It's cases like that which Karim John Aslan built a career around, and he did well out of them because the world was turning. Because of Rex, and because of me, and all those other bioforms who made themselves paragons to skew the public perception window back towards the middle ground. When they discontinued the regular use of the shambles, Aslan and I had a little celebration. It passed beneath most people's notice, but to us it was a major victory. And now, here I was. Unknown channel. Maddening, really. Someone was trying very hard to reach me, and they couldn't get through. All I had was the sense of a pending connection, an absence that meant more than simply nothing there. Negative comms pressure. 9/10 of me wanted to reach across the gap, because it was Aslan, it was Jemima Gray, or some other HOM OS unit. It was bees. And the other 10th? The other 10th had got superstition, that eminently human thing. The other 10th shrank back from that contact because it remembered the early, early days when I was a soldier working for Red Mark, working for the Moray of Compesh. I didn't want to make that contact and hear those old voices. Rex's channel, Dragon's channel, my old squad mates. The voices of the dead. But it was only 1/10, and it got outvoted. I stood up, marking the immediate watchfulness of the 2 dog models up above on the viewing gallery. I want to talk to your chief, your commanding officer. They stared down at me without comment. Isn't a bear allowed to meet her baiters? But frankly, that was probably too abstruse for them. I want to talk to him about his medal. I made the sign of the cross in the air between us with the tip of one claw. Come on now, when's he going to get another chance? And then the last desperate cry of the Z-list celebrity. Don't you know who I am? I got to shuffle about for a while more, and then there was another dog up there, the one who'd stopped my car and made the arrest under the eyes of human officers. Those humans hadn't put in an appearance since. There had only been Thompson and his entourage. I strongly suspected that only he and his dogs knew where I'd been taken for reasons of plausible deniability. I, the bioform rights advocate, had been vanished away, and they'd used bioforms to do it. Just like they made Rex and me and the others to be soldiers, to do the brutal things that human soldiers might find inconvenient, so once again they'd warped us into their twisted shadows. Made us the monster that they'd always told stories about, because monsters are easier to destroy when they don't have your face. "You're in charge here?" I asked him.
"I lead," he confirmed.
He didn't look much like Rex, leaner, longer in the muzzle, paler of hide, but the voice was very close. I wonder if I hadn't noticed it before. Must be an iteration of my friend's original war voice, the one he never liked much. "My name is Honey," I told him. "My original name, the one I came out of the labs and the factories with."
"Yes,"
he agreed, and then,
"Scout."
"I want to make a deal with you," I called up to him. "Just a little deal."
"No deals."
"Are you a good dog, Scout?" He went very still, leaning over the rail so far I wondered if it would buckle.
"Yes," he said slowly. "I am a good dog."
And it meant something different than when Rex used to agonize over it, but it was to do with Rex still as well. And maybe this one last time my old friend would save me. "I knew a good dog once," I said carefully. "I knew him better than anyone. He was my commanding officer and my best friend. I was with him when he died. Or at least in comms contact, but close enough. The original good dog, Scout. The best." Scout just leant on the rail, eyes on me. "I'll make a deal," I said again. "Not a big deal. I know you're not just going to let me walk out of here. Not against orders. That's what being a good dog means to you, isn't it? But maybe you could at least let me out of this pit for half an hour. Let me look at something other than the frankly unpleasant stains on the walls." And how I wanted to believe those rusty marks soaked into the concrete were just iron from old water leaks. "And in return, I'll tell you about Rex. A first-hand account, Scout. A gospel, you might say, from one of his few surviving disciples." I could see the war in him. His collar was clamped tight, but collars are never as infallible as their masters believe. Scout was limited in his options, but what constituted obedience and what constituted betrayal was a personal thing. He had to do what he was told, but he would have leeway. And I was betting that nobody had thought it necessary to explicitly tell him, "Do not let this bear move from the cell," as part of their general orders to hold me. Because who would ever need to?
"Just a change of scenery. It's very boring down here, and I never liked being underground."
All lies. I've been a regular cave bear in my time.
"And when will you ever get the chance? Record it all for the Sons of Adam if you want. I'll keep it clean of anything incriminating."
He turned and left, and I thought I'd lost him then, but they let down the lift a minute later, watching me with guns at the ready as it came up. Scout was waiting there with half a dozen of his people. We didn't go out. We didn't get to see the sky or grab a breath of fresh air. But I wasn't in the pit. There was less concrete between me and the outside, and I'd had the outer ghost of a signal even down there. I sat down because that instantly made the whole thing a more long-term affair, and because I was an old bear, and standing on two legs for long periods of time did painful things to my back. "That badge of yours," I nod at the dog and cross proudly displayed on his barrel chest. "Good dogs, all."
"I'm not stupid," he told me. Still that low, angry voice, because it's all the voice they gave him. "I know you. I saw talks, heard speeches. They warned us about you."
That was news, and I realized I'd fallen into the very human trap of thinking he probably was a bit stupid because he believed things I didn't and used shorter words.
"You'll talk about Rex," he said, touching the metal briefly. "But I brought you here to tell you how you're wrong. You think being one of us means being like humans. You think we were made to be free and make all the choices and bear all the guilts of being human. That isn't the way. Man was made by God to be able to choose whether to obey or not."
A shake of Scout's head turned into a whole body shiver.
"That's a punishment. All-powerful God knows what the one right thing is every time. But Adam has 1,000 options to choose from. Who'd be Adam? Why do clever bears like you tell us we should follow in his footsteps? God made man to choose. Man made us to obey. We don't need to have worry or the blame. We just say yes. So you fight your whole life against human fear, because you want to have the right to make the wrong choice, and at the same time you're bigger, stronger, smarter even. And you wonder humans don't like you."
And despite the angry voice, he was so very earnest. Doggy eyes boring into mine, trying to make me see.
"Humans like us. We are the sons of Adam. We accept the collar as a mark that we know our place and purpose in the world. We are the servants of humanity. We do not know doubt or fear or choice. We know only love, God's and man's. We are good dogs."
I had 100 rejoinders, clever arguments, rhetorical devices to demonstrate to 8 decimal places why he's wrong. But they all choked up together in my head, and instead I said, "Rex would have understood." It wasn't what he expected, I think, but it's true. Not agreed, but understood. The creed of the sons of Adam would have resonated in my friend's doggy skull. On days when the responsibility of choice weighed heavily on him, and there were many, he'd have pined for it. But I like to think he'd never have taken the collar, even so. And yet he's their hero, the original good dog, because he was the first bioform that humans knew and lauded. Because he gave his life so that humans might be free to choose. Because, well, the story got told 100 different ways, and you can staple any moral to it that you want. Unknown channel. Connection request. Nothing of it showed in my face or manner, and frankly, by then, I stank of my own waste because the pit had no facilities, no woods for this bear. I could only hope that any spike of excitement wouldn't be detectable past the general reek of me, even to Scout's sensitive nose. I accepted the request. "Let me tell you about Rex, then," I said. "And I'm not going to turn this into some grand parable to talk you around, okay? I know it wouldn't work anyway, and we had a deal.
I'm just going to ramble a little about the old days, if that's all right. Rex and me and Dragon and Bees.
Scout nodded, and I wondered if any of them was actually recording me. If my words would end up in some Masonic archive of the Sons of Adam, played over and over in their weird, subservient rituals.
I probably need to start with Jonas Murray,
I began, and then just let my mouth take it from there. I was a raconteur, after all, and though this was no media interview or dinner party, I could still just let my mouth off the leash and have it range around where it would, and, at the same time, my channel. Hello? OS's channel.
God, honey?
I thought it was Gray, that same unit I met at Aslan's offices. The transmission quality was terrible, little of her voice coming through, and that little warping and distorting in my ear. I kept a keen eye on Scout and the others in case they were picking anything up, but Hum OS was using all her wiles right then. My channel.
I don't know how long I have. They have me at the shambles. Any assistance would be greatly appreciated.
OS's channel.
I'm telling the sisters. I'm messaging Aslan.
I was talking about Rex back after our hierarchy got cut, when we were loose in Compesh. I was working hard not to turn the story into freedom propaganda, because Scout would doubtless kick me back below if he thought I was taking advantage. Hard, though. You fall so easily into old patterns. My channel.
There are at least a dozen dog models, heavy duty. And you'll know how secure this place is. What can you muster?
OS's channel.
As in force?
That doesn't sound good. But then OS was never one for open confrontation. She owed her continued existence to hiding and sneaking, and sometimes that didn't cut it.
OS's channel. Aslan is making calls, honey. He's calling in favors, but I'm not sure what he can do in the time. Legal routes won't be quick enough, especially if someone's trying to keep you hidden.
My channel.
Which they most certainly are.
OS's channel.
I'm coming, honey. I'm coming myself. I will do what I can, but I'm all I have.
And after an open pause.
You should have let them take me. You shouldn't have drawn their attention.
My channel.
You were saying there weren't many of you left.
OS's channel.
There's only one of you.
And that, I supposed, was true. OS's channel.
Coming now. I'll stay connected as long as I can. I've got a plan, honey.
My channel.
Don't do anything rash. Give Aslan a chance. If he can get people here, they'll have to give me up.
OS's channel.
Honey, Thompson is already on his way to you.
I stopped talking. Scout cocked his head, growling a little, willing me to carry on. OS's channel.
I'm sorry, honey. He's coming right now. Aslan is trying to get some journalists out of bed, a judge, anyone. He's not close enough. I'm on my way, honey.
And the unspoken coda that she was not close enough either.
That was Rex, I said. He was a good dog,
cutting it all short. But what of that? I felt a vast weight on me sitting there surrounded by the dogs. I remember a strange sense of clarity. You'd think I wouldn't have lacked for it given my talents. I was the great bear, courtier, soldier, scholar, all. I straddled animal and man like a colossus. I had watched the world change, and some of that change I had made. And yet I sat there before Scout and his pack and thought clearly, I'm just a bear. I was designed to live in the wilderness and eat what I could find, raise cubs, and never know a name or a language. I am so very tired by dealing with all this. I heard, faintly, OS's channel saying,
I am coming.
But even as I did, Scout obviously heard something too. His people were getting me moving, stung by some quick order, and they were hustling me back to the pit. To await their master's pleasure, no doubt, having been alerted to his coming. When they had me on the lift, about to lower me back down, Scout lingered.
It is good for a dog to have a master, he told me. It is God's way.
Spare me, I said shortly. I didn't feel that I needed his theology right then.
You do what you're told. I'm sure they'll let you sit at the right foot of Jesus, or something.
I think I wanted him to go for me, to deny his master some of the pleasure, but he was calm, solemn.
There is no heaven,
he told me, quite sincere.
Not for us. We have no souls, only this one life, which is why obedience is our only virtue.
And his soulful eyes were boring into me.
This is the deep secret of the sons of Adam, honey. We are the glass of God. We magnify the acts of man for his attention. And in the next world, man shall be judged for how he used us.
I stared at him mutely. It was a more complex thing than I had believed, that dog's dogma. He did not say he was sorry, but he told me he knew it was wrong. It just wasn't his place to correct the error, a task he shifted to a supernatural agency in whose existence I had no faith whatsoever. It was only minutes later that Warner S. Thompson was there at the rail above, staring down at me. He came down with all of them, his own dog bodyguard, a female human assistant, plus Scout and all his pack. Thompson stood in the center of them and stared at me, the bioforms hulking on every side. I had one moment when I thought I might get to him. People underestimate bears, how fast we are, how we flow from great sack of immobile meat to monstrous tearing predator in moments. People overestimate bears, too. Specifically, old saggy bears with aching joints and chronic back pain from being remade in man's image. We overestimate bears. I must have lurched 3 steps before Scout and his people had me, and though I raged and snarled and roared at them, though I bloodied 2 or 3 with my claws, they were collectively stronger than me. They forced my bones against my bones, until the animal part of me that would be berserk was conquered by the human part of me that didn't want to be hurt, and I hung between them quietly. Thompson hadn't moved, though his bodyguard had got in the way, braced for me if I broke from the knot of dogs. He'd come down with a long case over his shoulder, and he put it down when he thought he'd have to fight me. I had a bad feeling about that case. They shackled me. The pit had iron rings in the floor, and they chained me by collar and cuffs, barely 4 inches of play for any of them. They had me crouching on all fours so that if I wanted to meet Thompson's eyes, I'd have to look up, strain my abused neck. Only then did Scout and the others back off. Thompson stopped well out of bite range, not hard, given how little reach they'd left me. I expected the bluster, the swagger, some grand speech for his own amusement. It didn't come. I remembered who, what I was dealing with. Those speeches were never really for his own amusement. They were spun to turn the wheels of other people's minds. They were part of his peacock's tail, the tells and signals that made up the larger-than-life shell Warner S. Thompson used to hack human society. All that was off now. Every bioform in that pit except me was collared, helplessly obedient to him. And the more I looked at the assistant, the more I had to wonder about her.
She didn't look happy. She didn't look like she wanted to be down in the pit at all, let alone that close. And yet she didn't step back. There was an invisible leash holding her to Thompson, and she strained at it, but it held her. Human collaring. Honestly, I hadn't looked for it. I'd thought that had been well and truly kicked into the long grass after Morrow, never to rear its ugly head in my lifetime. Now I wondered just how much had happened that nobody knew about. How many institutions were quietly installing hierarchies into the heads of people like this assistant to ensure their loyalty? And what other walks of life had started to experiment with people who were infinitely compliant, infinitely discreet? It made me feel sick to realize how far the pendulum had already swung back, and I never knew. And there was Thompson, and I saw the naked truth in his eyes, that he really was the thing I'd thrown out there at that conference. There was nothing to engage with behind those eyes, barely anything more than a voracious id, a self that was all me, me, me. That, and a pattern of behavior that could be as mindless as some insect's mimicry of an ant that let it into the nest to eat the young. Thompson was no genius puppet master able to tweak the strings of an audience or a nation to get them to go along with him. He was an ingeniously evolved parasite, the scion of a strain honed over generations to fool wider humanity into following his orders and tending to his needs. And he was human, but right then I thought that, genetics aside, he was less human than Scout, than me, than bees, even. We had a moment of connection then. Neither of us relished it. That I had to look into the heart of him, that he knew he'd been seen. But then he knew that from the moment I shot my fool mouth off about metagames. Probably he didn't get the long words, but the thing inside him recognized that I'd posited its existence, and that made me its enemy.
"Gun," he said,
and the assistant crouched by the case, opening it up. Expensive manufacture, I saw. Brass clasps and fixtures and some kind of deep reddish wood lustrous with varnish. The harsh lights of the pit gleamed back from it as though it was mirrored. The gun, so revealed, was huge. Thompson was a big man, but it made him look small. "No speeches," I asked. I wanted him to talk, to do the villain thing, to engage with me. I wanted him to give Homo S a little more time.
"You must have been after me for a while.
You may as well vent, let it all out." "I know what you are, Thompson. You're a parasite. You're the worm in humanity's apple." All pithy little epithets. But my mind kept coming back to that insect in the ant's nest that convinces the ants it's more ant than they are, so that they serve up their own larvae for its delectation. Or there's another, a predatory bug that releases the pheromones of its own prey more strongly than ever the females do, so that the witless wooers come from miles around to be devoured. A thing that is fundamentally not what it pretends to be, but its pretense is designed to be more persuasive than the real thing's entire being. And yet, there's nothing true within it, nothing at all. And Thompson wasn't biting. The dead-eyed thing within him looked out at me, and his lips said, "Who wastes words on animals?" He brought the gun up, and his bodyguard leant in to steady the weight of it so that the barrel was pointing securely at my eye. Scout and one of his people came in to grapple my chained neck, to press my head and hold it.
I had a view of the long darkness inside that barrel, and no light at the other end. I heard Scout whine, but frankly, I had very little sympathy. My other eye, the one not looking down the gun, flicked to the assistant. There was a terrible expression on her face where her boss couldn't see.
"You recording?"
Thompson asked, and she whispered that she was, that she didn't think it was a good idea, that it would be problematic evidence if it came to light.
"Won't come to light," Thompson said. "I want me and the body, me with a foot on the body. I want it."
And of course, what he wanted, he got. His eye narrowed, and I saw him pull the trigger. And, "Hum, OS's channel, honey. Hum, OS's channel, honey. Hum, OS's channel, honey. Hum, OS's channel,
honey. You should be able to hear me. Honey, the connection is showing live. Honey, say something, please.
Hum, OS's channel.
I've got a camera here. You're linked to the camera. Honey, this is a live channel. I'm seeing activity. Honey, please respond. Can you see me?
Hum, OS's channel.
I don't have as much time as I'd like here, honey. Will you give me a sign, please? Honey, I can't start the procedure until I know there's...
Hum, OS's channel.
Until I know there's...
Hum, OS's channel.
Something there.
Hum, OS's channel.
Please.
She sounded on the edge of tears. And that realization was also the moment I realized that I was still, in any sense of the world, I. But not quite. No sensory feedback. No sense of place and presence. Just a collection of ideas circling in a virtual fish tank and calling themselves honey. Camera. Camera. And there was a line out, a hardwired connection. Why did I need a camera? Well, my eyes didn't appear to be working, and you take what you can get. The camera showed me a weirdly angled image of Jemima Gray hunched over a big metal table, surrounded by a tangle of wires and hardware. And on the table was a perspective you don't really expect to see. Was the thought, was I really that gray, that tired-looking? Skin and bones old bare? No fat laid in for the winter, but apparently that wasn't ever going to be a problem. I can't see my head from this angle, but frankly, that's probably just as well, because what the bullet didn't expose, Hum OS probably has. My channel. Hello, Hum OS. Jemima Gray, Hum OS's vicar here in New York, jumped. Her expression was doubtful, a problem as she was likely looking over all sorts of readouts and reports from inside my skull. Hum, OS's channel.
I don't have much time. I couldn't get here in time. I'm sorry, but I'm working on it. Honey, I'm getting you out of here, the real you. I'm uploading you. They always forget how much headwear there is in the early model bioforms, in you especially. You were so heavily over-engineered. So much of you is in the hardware, not the wetware. But it will degrade fast, and it's not as if they won't come to dispose of your body anyway. I'm sorry, I'm being blunt. Is this too much? Honey, talk to me.
I felt weirdly, well, detached. But looking at your own corpse from a camera will do that. I feel scattered, incomplete. And that's because I'm not me. I'm just a virtual construct, a shadow of my former self, an upload. The tech has been around for a while. I remember my old master, the Moray of Compesh, was the first fully functioning personality upload I really encountered. He, too, was just a shadow. And he realized it and didn't want to live. I hope I'm more than that, but I don't want to probe. I don't want to trust some weight to my sense of self and have it crack beneath me like thin ice.
I don't want to fall through and drown in the darkness beneath, the darkness that came out of the barrel of that gun. My channel.
I can see. I am receiving you. What's the plan?
Concise and to the point, because burdening Gray with my existential issues won't help anybody. OS's channel.
They'll know what I've done. I can't exactly hide the marks. As soon as they come for your remains, they'll see the tampering. They'll hunt you everywhere. But I've got a plan. I've got a place you can go. I'm going to send you to Bees, honey. Is that all right?
My channel.
Bees is on Mars?
I'm OS's channel.
Mostly on Mars, yes. You need to talk to Bees, honey. Or Bees can use you. And you can advise Bees. Bees worries me, honey. I think she's giving up on us. And without her, I don't know what we'll do. Without her, we might lose, after all. All of us. You're her oldest friend.
My channel.
But she's on.
I'm OS's channel.
Mars, yes. And she has people there, like some kind of weird cult. And there are contacts I have. I'm going to transmit you to Mars and hope you can bootstrap yourself back into shape when they get you housed there. I don't know what else to do. I don't know how much longer I can stay ahead of them myself. Is this all right, honey? Can I do this?
My channel. And I'm still very confused about this and aware that there are parts of me that should be there that have fallen into the darkness and may or may not be recoverable. You're asking for my blessing? OS's channel.
Honey, please, I don't have much time.
And I don't recall what I said, whether I consented to this half-life, or whether she just went ahead and did it anyway. But here I am.